Rolene Marks.
A very, very good morning to you. They're making me angry, these trigger people, Rolene.
What is going on? I mean, on the subject of applause, that's how I set my morning wake-up call, because what better way to start the day than just being applauded all the time?
I actually think that's brilliant. I'm going to set my alarm to be able to applause.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. First of all, there's not a Leo in the world that wouldn't love that. And then there's people in entertainment and radio. Yeah, I think that would work for us.
And I'm an Aries, and you know, we always have to be first. So that's why I love it. And then therefore, I'm not upset about anything. I think I'm fantastic, and nobody has to remove anything from their packaging, and I don't have to be cancelled.
Right. And Milton says, can you imagine listening to Queen, We Will Rock You, with jazz?
Doesn't work. I do love me a good jazz hands, though.
Right. Okay. It's just absolutely absurd. All right. Equally absurd is the level of anti-Semitism that we are seeing around the world. A big report came out this week talking about anti-Semitism in America. Columbia University also releasing a report. We've got lots of strange stuff coming out of Belgium. What on earth is going on? Because the more sensitive we become to our own needs, the less sensitive we seem to be to others.
Okay, so before we jump into those, I just want to talk about two stories that have made the media. One is a study in the United States, and I really didn't think that in 2019 we would be sitting with a situation in the United States where one in every four Jew thinks that they cannot wear a kippah in public, they cannot outwardly identify as Jewish because it's a threat to their life. This is the United States. This is a country, the land of the free, the home of the brave, where we thought, you know, you would be safe from this kind of discrimination. And another story I want to quickly touch on is the story of the teacher who was fired from the school in the UK, I think it was last week, for telling 10 of her pupils that she will send them to the gas chambers, and then appealing to them or pleading with them, please, please don't tell anybody. Well, I just want to say, good for those students who did not take this lying down and straight away reported it. And, you know, all I can say is for anybody out there, and I know we have international listeners as well, you know, report these incidents of anti-Semitism. You know, we cannot in 2019 allow for this to keep on flourishing and flourishing and flourishing in the dangerous ways that it is. That something has to be done. We've seen it in Australia. You and I spoke about the incident a couple of weeks ago with the Jewish student who was forced to kiss the feet of another Muslim student. That student has been taken to children's court. He will be tried on several accounts. But again, it's up to the schools. It's up to the schools to, you know, to take action. It's also up to parents to think very carefully how they are educating their children.
So it's definitely global, because we're seeing this. There's not a country in the world at the moment that is unaffected by it. I think in South Africa we're probably less affected than, thankfully, than in other places. But of course we're not immune to it either, and we certainly do have these incidents coming up from time to time. But what really was disturbing for me was reading this Columbia University report. It's a 33-page report that talks about systematic anti-Semitism, lecturers being anti-Semitic, students being targeted. It's deeply problematic.
It is. I mean, if we look at Columbia University, this is an Ivy League university. This is one of the most prestigious universities in the United States. And now this report saying that more than 100 incidents between 2016 and 2017's academic year. This is very, very frightening. And as you've just mentioned, it's not just student-on-student anti-Semitism or student groups like Students for a Just Palestine or for Justice in Palestine, SJP, not to be confused with Sarah Jessica Parker, who herself is Jewish and recently visited Israel. But, you know, all joking aside, this is very very, very, very serious. This is also a university that has given a platform to two notorious anti-Semites under the guise of free speech, former Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and Mohammed Mahathir from, or Mahathir Mohammed from Malaysia, who finds absolutely nothing wrong with being an anti-Semite. And the reception that he got is very telling to me of the climate on Columbia University. You know, he was cheered. He wasn't jeered. The academic who introduced him, you know, praised him for his talk. And you know, it's quite frightening when an Ivy League university, one of the most academically renowned in the country, is singled out for being what they're calling arguably the most prominent settings for university-based anti-Semitism in the United States.
Yeah, really, really scary. And what's going on in Belgium now?
Oh, Belgium. You know, last year we spoke about, I remember you and I speaking about the parade in the town of Alst, where they had these caricatures of Orthodox Jews sitting on top of a whole lot of money bags and you know, it's the typical horrible stereotype that we've seen since time immemorial, and especially during the Nazi era of the hook-nosed Jew, money, rats, you know, vermin, the whole, every single dangerous stereotype they trotted out on their parade. Now, the parade is endorsed by UNESCO, and even UNESCO took a stand against this, and it garnered a lot of criticism around the world. And just this past week, the organizers of the event released a whole lot of postcards, at least 50 different postcards of Jews. Also, again, inherently stereotypical, hooked nose, gold teeth, you know, everything that anti-Semites perceive as ugly about Jewish people, and everything that we see as profoundly, profoundly hurtful and harmful. Now, the mayor of Alst, who also took a lot of criticism last year because he said he didn't see anything offensive about the float, he says that it's harmless satire, it's not anti-Semitic, that these printed caricatures of Jews with golden teeth and hooked noses, and they went so far as to produce red hooked noses on ribbons, which they say must be worn at the next parade. I mean, this is the words fail me at how offensive this is. And they say, no, it's not a stab at Jews, it's a stab at UNESCO, and the line is UNESCO, what a joke. And of course, the Belgian Jewish community has complained about it. They've complained to, you know, the equivalent of the Human Rights Commission in Belgium, and you know, which is called the watchdog on racism, basically. And they've said that although the float was anti-Semitic, the creators are not intentionally racist. I don't know about you guys, but I'm of the opinion that, you know, we the Jewish people will decide what is offensive and anti-Semitic and racist against us.
We're one of the few groups that are not allowed to decide what is anti them. You know, imagine trying to having the cheek to tell a person who feels that something is racist and in some way to tell them that it's not. It would be unimaginable, because if they're feeling that, and if they're feeling if something is Islamophobic, etc., it's very hard to tell somebody that it isn't. And in fact, it's unacceptable to tell them that it isn't. But yet, when it comes to anti-Semitism, we are often lectured on what is and what isn't anti-Semitic.
Yeah, we don't need to be. I think the term is gaslit. We don't need that, or to be Jew-splayed. I think is a better terminology.
Yeah, I think let's leave that gas thing out of it. Yeah, it just evokes all sorts of other things. But yeah, it's an absolutely unbelievable thing that that the Jewish community in Belgium can complain about this, and really rightfully so. If you see the photos of these parades, it's something out of 1930s Germany.
Well, the Jewish communal body have said that, you know, saying that it's not offensive is a cheap cliche. In fact, they've written in their press release, they said Jews have more than 2,000 years of experience with anti-Semitism and need no instruction about humor. Jews know better than anyone where caricatures can lead. You know, we've seen this. We've seen this in the coverage of Israel, Netanyahu, Ariel Sharon, various other figures in the Israeli political and security establishment, also all portrayed as money grabbing or greedy or monsters or vermin, and you know, again, it also plays into that whole criticism that if anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism, or criticism of or delegitimizing the state of Israel is not anti-Semitic. You know,
it's interesting because one of the, in the Columbia report, it challenged one of their professors who said, no, he's very critical of Israel, but he's not anti-Semitic. But in one of the posts he says, his social media posts, he actually openly says, look for, any evil in the world and somehow you will find Israel connected to it. Now that isn't unbridled hatred. I'm not sure what is. And when he was, when the university was challenged on that, they said, no, well, this is his private Facebook, this is his social media, and, you know, we value freedom of speech, even if we don't necessarily agree with anything, with what he's saying. But this is the same guy that is lecturing students, not only non-Jewish students who he is educating in this way, but Jewish students who now feel compromised and who are reliant on him for their grades. So how the university can distance themselves from kids, from this type of behavior is absolutely astounding. It'll be interesting to see what happens now following this report. Of course, Columbia University's put out a statement saying, we are very supportive of our vibrant Jewish community, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the reality on the ground is somewhat different.
Well, I just want to quote Ophir Dayan. He's a junior at Columbia and interviewed. He said, the situation on campus is not only getting worse, but it is evolving. People before me experienced students who were anti-Israel and anti-Semitic, but we are seeing this more and more from the faculty. You can talk to students, tell them how you feel, but at the end of the day, when professors make these kind of statements, it's even more problematic. And I just want to touch on the, on this whole issue of, well, it's my private Facebook. You know, I believe to several well-known organizations, people know that, and because of that, I don't have private capacity. I cannot comment in my private capacity because I'm associated. And the same, in my opinion, I could be wrong, the same should ring true for educators. You are responsible for marking papers. You are responsible for educating the next generation of thought leaders, of opinion makers, of world leaders. This kind of partiality and personal posturing is very, very dangerous.
It is absolutely very, very frightening.